Good morning. This is the Game Fish and Parks Radio Show. I am Bryce McVicker, and with us today out of the Watertown office is Calvin Meyer. Thanks for coming today, Calvin.
Yeah, thanks, Bryce. Good morning to you.
Well, I don't think that we've done a radio show together since you've been here. How long have you been in Watertown now?
I officially started, I believe, as last January 11th or 9th.
Okay, so
just about a year almost.
Just coming up on a year, all right. Well, you did do one radio show with Mike Klazowski, so I apologize that you had to start off your radio career here in Watertown with him. So we'll try to fix that and patch things up from any bad habits that he might have created the last time. But we appreciate you coming on. It's kind of a weekend here from an outdoor recreation standpoint that we don't see very often in Northeast South Dakota. And I'm saying that because I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of people out and about this weekend. If anything, might be some pheasant hunters, because outside of that, the waterfowl season is pretty well wrapped up. We've got a few days left here before duck season is over, and then a week or so before Canada geese and snow goose season is over. But for the most part, most of the birds have pushed out of the area. A lot of our ice conditions have changed around the county, so we're just not seeing a whole lot of waterfowl hunting left out there. East River deer season wrapped up last Sunday, so that is all done, but there is still a little bit of deer hunting to be had. You can get out and archery hunt. You can get out and fill some of those youth tags. So we're going to see some of those folks out there, muzzleloader hunters, but as far as the busy rush of East River deer season, that is going to be pretty much over with. But this weather really has me worried when we go into weekends like this, where people are really getting anxious to get out on that ice. And ice conditions are not going to be very stable right now. Is there places where you can go out and dig some holes or drill some holes and be safe? Of course there is. But ice conditions are going to be very uneven everywhere you go, whether waterfowl kept it open, whether ice and wind kind of had maybe ice chunks pushed up somewhere to make some thicker ice and moved out of an area, made some thinner ice, those kind of things. But overall, just going to be very uneven ice here, especially this weekend. Calling for some warm temperatures Sunday and even next Tuesday. So it might be another couple weeks before this ice is really stable enough for us to be confident with coming up with much of a fishing report. Calvin, are you a ice fisherman in your off time?
Yeah, I try and get out as much as I can, and you know, I come from Minnesota area, so plenty of ice fishing opportunity over there, and I'm looking forward to chase some perch this year. I never really got into that much back home, but I'm looking forward to it this year.
Are you one of the fishermen that pushes the limits early season and wants to be one of the first ones out there, or are you more cautious and wait until you have 4 or 5 inches?
I usually leave the getting out there early to somebody else, and I'll wait until there's a few people out there before I venture out on the ice.
There's definitely two different personalities there when it comes to ice fishermen. There is people that can't wait to be the first ones, and then there's people who wait until the ice is more than adequate to go out there, and I would fall into the second category. I've been in South Dakota for 10 years now, and I never have got into the ice fishing thing in my off time, so that always makes me a little bit leery, even from a perspective of going out and checking fishermen. I usually don't venture out on the ice until there's more than enough ice to have snowmobiles, ATVs, and that kind of thing out on the ice. So you're probably not going to see me walking out checking anybody this weekend, but a lot of our officers will be at the boat ramps and access areas checking people that way. I guess the big news for ice fishing season here coming up this weekend is Lake Ponset. Everybody knows that we changed that length limit, and that was supposed to come off on January 1st, but they have went ahead and activated that immediately. So as of right now, there is no 15-inch minimum size limit for walleye on Lake Ponset. So Lake Ponset will now fall under the statewide walleye regulations, which is 4 walleye per day, and one of those can be over 20 inches. So, looking at a lot of people taking advantage of that this winter, hopefully those walleye bite. There's obviously a bunch of them in there from this summer. Last winter, the walleye just never really bit very well, so I'm hoping that this winter now that we can get a lot of those fish out of the system that they bite for some folks. But since we've got Calvin here, we're going to get off the the ice fishing topic here for a while and talk about some of the things that he specializes in. And I guess one thing that does kind of relate to ice fishing is snowmobiles. And people take snowmobiles out and ice fish with them. And a question we get a lot here at the Watertown office is, do I have to have my snowmobile licensed when I go out and fish some of these public waters? So I guess I'll kind of start with licensing, Calvin. And what do we need to have for licenses on these snowmobiles?
Yep, you can either get your $10 a year resident license from the county treasurer's office, or you can buy the 5-day temporary permit. In the years past, this was, you could only get these at Farm Island Recreation or the Black Hills Trails office. This year, with my new position in Watertown, we're going to have those 5-day temporary permits available at the Watertown office. So those would be the two ways you can get licensed, get legal. And just remember, you need to have a valid license on your snowmobile if you're going to be on public or private lands, except those private lands owned by the snowmobile's operator. So just keep that in mind as you're getting ready to get your snowmobile ready for the season and get out, and hopefully we get some more snow so we can take part in those activities.
All right, so the $10 annual license, you get that at the county office. Where does that allow you to go?
That allows you pretty much to go anywhere. We got over 1,300 miles of trail on the eastern side of the state, and that would be good anywhere in the state.
All right. So if you're on a public road, you need to have your snowmobile licensed. If you're on any of the trails, you need to have your snowmobiles licensed. And then if you were on any meandered lake, then you would have to have a licensed snowmobile. Does that sound correct?
Yes, it does.
All right. And the temporary licenses, how many days are those valid for?
Those are good for 5 days. And I guess I forgot one thing. You can also get those online as well at the GFP website.
Who mostly do we see buying those temporary permits? Folks that are just going out to the hills for a couple days?
Yeah, it could be those guys, or maybe it's somebody who has an older vintage sled that they don't go out all the time riding, but maybe they got some friends that are out riding and they want to go out and for a couple days and go hit some trails. So we don't sell a whole lot of those. But it is an option for folks.
All right. Very good. Let's talk trails a little bit. You said there's 1,300 miles of trails in eastern South Dakota. Those are the ones, like if you drive down Highway 81, you can see snowmobile signage in the ditch. You might see some reflectors. You might see some stop signs and that kind of stuff. Those are the trails we're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. Just on the, like you said, just on the eastern side of the state, we have over 1,300 miles of trail. And in fact, there's three of us inspecting trails this year, and we just wrapped that up yesterday. So we'll be getting those back to the clubs and having them make any changes that we ask of.
Who maintains those trails?
Yeah, so I believe there's 15 clubs in South Dakota, snowmobile clubs, and these guys are all volunteers. They volunteer their own time, their own gas money, and it's a lot of work to go out and get these trails signed, and that's just the beginning, because then once the snow is gone, they're also back out there getting the signs down by a deadline. So hats off to these guys. They're hard workers, and they really have a passion for the sport, and they continue to make it available for everybody. So if you see any club members around, maybe thank them for what they do, and if you're even interested in helping out with this, get a hold of them and see if you can't help out.
Okay. Do we have a snowmobile club right here in Watertown?
Yes, we do.
All right. So if anybody's interested in becoming part of those, they can look those guys up. One more thing in the snowmobile world, maps. We often get questions about not only the trails that are around the Watertown area here, but the trails that are in the Black Hills that seem to be fairly popular when we start to get some snow fly. Where can a person get those maps?
Yeah, you bet. Well, there'll be businesses around the state that will have these maps. You can get them at parks, the Watertown office, and there's actually even a snowmobile app, and that's active around the clock, and trail conditions are updated on that app that you can put on your iPhone or your Android, whatnot. And that's the one I like to use, because you never know if you get in a situation, maybe your snowmobile breaks down or something, and you need to know exactly where you are to call in either a buddy to come help you drag the snowmobile to a road or something like that. So that will give you geo-referencing exactly where you're at on the map, and it's a real handy tool, and I use it quite often.
All right, very good. So plenty of options for both electronic maps and hard copy maps if you have any question. And also, so again, you're going to be selling the temporary permits out of the Watertown office, and if anybody has any questions on these snowmobiles, they can give Calvin a call directly at the Watertown office there. I'm going to go into some other ice fishing stuff here, and then we will wrap up with Calvin at the end on some information as far as what's going on in our state parks over the winter and some park passes and that kind of stuff. But we'll go back to ice fishing just real quick here. I want to touch on non-meandered water. Been a pretty hot topic all year. We've kind of beat the topic to death. But nonetheless, we're kind of going into a new fishing season here. We've talked about it from a duck hunting perspective. We've talked about it from an open water fishing perspective. So let's just talk non-meandered water a little bit from an ice fishing perspective. I talked to Rhett Russell yesterday out of the Watertown office and got an update as far as how many bodies of water closed, how many acres are closed, how many counties are affected, and that kind of thing. As it sits here today, there's four counties that are affected by non-meandered closures, and within those four counties, we're looking at right around a dozen total closures. Some of them are smaller bodies of water, some of them are bigger bodies of water. But if people have gone through the proper closure process, you will see on your Game Fish and Parks app that those will be closed. You will also see when you get to those bodies of water that it will be marked at the access areas with signage or in a road right-of-way with signage that will tell you that that particular non-meandered body of water is not legal for you to go out and fish without permission. So that's something that new that us as fishermen are going to have to deal with going into this winter. So make that Game Fish and Parks app your best friend. Learn how to use the map function on that. And anytime you get to a new body of water, turn on your GPS there, and it'll show you if that particular body of water is open or not open. So I guess the last thing that you can do if you've exhausted all your references there, give us a call at the Watertown office. We've got a list of them. Call any of us officers anytime. We'll know whether or not a particular body of water is open for you to go out and fish, or if it's not open for you to go out and fish. If we don't know off the top of our heads, we will figure out how to look that up for you. But make sure that's something new that you're looking for. Don't just scroll through the map and look for public or private. Make sure you're paying attention to those new colors on the map that are going to show you if non-meandered water has been closed off or not closed off. With that, just got a couple more minutes here, Calvin, but let's talk parks. A lot of folks think that in the winter months, the parks are closed. Is that true?
Yeah, contrary to some belief out there, you know, parks are open all year round, and try and provide that opportunity to as many users as we can. So the same things apply. If it was a normal summer day, you still need to have a valid park entrance license, and a lot of the booths aren't occupied or don't have gate staff at them. So just make sure you're looking for the self-sale park entrance license. Those are usually attached to you know, either the booth or welcome center, depending on what park you go to. And also, now's a good time to still get your 2018 annual park entrance license. And when you go to the park, you can fill out that self-sell, and you can choose to get that annual license, and park staff will mail you one in the mail. So definitely get out. You can still use the parks, and we look forward to seeing lots of people out there this winter.
Yeah, that's a constituent of people that stop in the Watertown office a lot this time of year, is folks looking to get park passes. It's actually a pretty good Christmas present. A lot of people that come in buy a pretty good stack of them, and I believe that they probably use those as stocking stuffers or what have you around the Christmas time. So swing into the Watertown office. That is something that you can purchase there. They'll give you the stamp right away, and you don't have to wait for it to get mailed to you. But we do sell a lot of those annual park passes during the Christmas season. But like you said, parks are open. Fees are still the same. The only difference probably is there's no running water, I gotta imagine.
Correct. You're correct. Most of our comfort stations shut down. But once the temperatures start dropping, no dump stations, obviously. But you can still rent a cabin. Those are still open. You just have to, you know, go make your reservation. Maybe a little more primitive or rugged opportunity for camping out there right now. And there are still people that bring in their campers, you know, or even tent if you want to try bearing the elements some night and tenting it out in the parks. Yeah, so.
Very good. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. Calvin, I appreciate you coming today. It's always always nice to get a parks perspective. Now that Dan Sternhagen has come over to the dark side, I don't get a whole lot of parks influence on the show, so it's nice to have that from time to time, because I know a lot of our listeners are very avid park users. But I hope everybody has a great weekend. I imagine that most of what we're going to see out there is probably going to be pheasant hunters. We're going to start seeing some portable shacks out there on some of these area lakes, but I just really encourage people to make sure they take that spud bar out there, use it correctly, and use a lot of caution. I'd hate for the search and rescue to get called out this weekend. That's the very last thing that we want to have to go through. So be cautious out there, and have a good weekend.